Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church. Hey, listeners, welcome to the Connection Point Podcast. Tyler here and Dr. Irvin.
Dr. Irvin is back, yes. Dr.
Brad or Dr. Irvin, what's...
You've earned your title.
Yeah,
I will respond to either. I could tell my patients, you can call me whatever, just don't call me late for dinner.
Don't call you late for dinner. Yeah. I'm going to call you Dr. Irvin. Oh. You've earned it.
Oh, okay.
Now, I know we're good friends, so Brad is good, but...
Yes, Brad is just fine. Dr. Irvin, B-Money, you know, whatever you want to go with.
B-Money it is. All right. It is good to be with you guys. It has been a long time.
It has. Somebody decided that having a new baby was more important than doing a podcast with his friend Brad. So.
The audacity of that guy, yeah, that's just ridiculous.
I'm glad he finally came to his senses.
Came to my senses about 3 months later.
Yes.
We've missed you guys, and we know that you've missed us, especially Brad's jokes. That's so I have to ask you, it's been like 3 months without a joke. Do you have one for us tonight?
I got one.
Okay,
got
so one. Let's hear your joke. Let's give him some life updates, and then we'll hit the ground running.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, go ahead, man. What you got?
All right, so we'll start with our joke. So Originally, it was going to be a priest, a pastor, and a rabbit walk into a bar.
Okay, yes.
But this is a Baptist podcast.
Right.
So instead, we're going to have them walk into a potluck.
Potluck it is. Perfect.
So the priest, and the pastor, and the rabbit walk into the potluck. And they ask the priest, they'll say, well, what would you like? And he's like, oh, I'd like some French fries. And they say, well, here you go. They ask the pastor, they say, oh, pastor, what would you like? And he's like, oh, you know, I think I'd like some fried chicken. Yeah. I said, well, here you go. And they turn to the rabbit and say, well, you know, what would you like? Carrots, I'm guessing. He says, I don't know. I'm just here because of a typo.
I get it.
Thanks.
Because you take the T out, it's a rabbi.
Right, exactly.
But a typo makes it a rabbit.
Yes, and if you are not familiar with the common form of the joke, it is normally a priest, a pastor, and a rabbi.
Usually walking into a bar.
Yes, I thought that was appropriate since we're going to be talking about the Trinity today. So
dude, heavy stuff, man.
We have the old Trinity of joke in there.
That is good. Yeah, I got that joke. That's a good one.
Oh, thank you.
I would grade it as good.
All right.
Solid.
So I will continually be on the lookout. Now that we're going to be more regular, I'll try to have more jokes.
Yes. Regular it is. Has been about 3 months. Let's just give some life updates. 3 months ago, I was getting a lot of sleep, and I had just 1 5-year-old.
Yes.
Now, I've got a...
Even more sleep?
Less, well, I can't say I have less. Like, my wife does most of the work, right? I don't do much of it. So I'm kind of... but. I get less sleep, and now I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-3-week-old baby. So that is good. Had a baby. He's healthy. So I've got 2 boys now. Kind of a change in church positions. I've been kind of doing worship, youth, and discipleship. This podcast is kind of our discipleship section, but I've been working with the youth. That's been good. I love them. And I think I had just like a 5 o'clock shadow. Now I've got a really thick beard. So. Those are some of my life updates,
yeah.
Just so they know. What's happened with you, Brad?
You know, mostly the same. I've just kind of been sitting, waiting by the phone, waiting for Tyler to call me, saying he's ready to do the podcast again. So, I still have the same 3 I started with when we started the podcast.
Same 3 kids, okay,
yes,
good.
Yes. My youngest is now walking, and for those of you that have had kids, he is in the fun stage where he likes to take things from one place and put them in another. So that may be... putting my shoes into a cupboard, or it may be putting my keys into the trash can.
Your stuff's not safe, basically.
No. Okay. And so, yes, if I find one of Evelyn's shirts in the refrigerator, I know that Brogan has figured out how to open the refrigerator at that point. So.
You just never know what you're going to find.
Yes,
it's almost like so. You're opening a present every day. You just don't know what you're going to get when you open that thing.
Exactly. And so, yep, he is walking, and it's fun to watch him do his little toddle around, but yeah, he is ready to go, and you just better hope you can keep up with him.
That's good. Newborns are a little easier. They don't move much.
Yeah, you're in what I call the potted plant stage.
They're
basically little potted plants that can cry.
They do that, cry and poop.
Yeah. As your baby grows older, I will explain the different stages to you.
Okay.
We start off with potted plant stage, and next will be dream baby stage, TV dream baby stage.
I don't even know what that is.
So it's whenever you're going to watch TV, whenever they have a baby, like a cartoon baby, they can sit up, they can maybe crawl around a little bit.
They're
always happy and cute and fun.
Right.
It's everyone's favorite stage of the baby.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah. So I think that was updates for for us.
That was for our 19 million fans out there. I mean, 19.
Yes.
We're growing.
Yes.
Keep listening, keep sharing. We got good stuff, right? Like, this is good stuff, not because we're talking about it, but we're addressing Scripture, and Scripture is incredible. And if you guys recall, we've been going through different theological terms.
Yeah. And hopefully these are things that people are finding helpful.
Yeah.
Questions that they've had. And, you know, we were kind of talking before, if you have topics or things that you would like us to talk about, or that would be especially helpful to you, let us know and comment on there.
Put it on the podcast.
We do read those. We wait with bated breath for people to comment and hope they're good. So you will never have somebody as hanging on one of your internet comments as if you comment on our podcast.
We'll get like one notification. I'm like, yes, what is it? Woohoo! We got a comment. In all seriousness. So we've been going through words. We've looked at creation, sanctification, justification, glorification. Kind of our catch was we were doing words that ended in ION, right? That was kind of our catch. And we've come to a word today that we were kind of address as itself, but it has so many implications that we're taking a broader look today, and we're going to just keep going tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. If we don't get through it all, so we've got like the basic plan for our podcast, which gives us like, it gives us like a 90-minute window. So if we record more than 90 minutes, we'll break up this episode into another one next week, or next two weeks.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the word submission, right? Mm-hmm. And the role of Christ here on this earth, how he was being submissive to God's will. But the grander question then is, what is the Trinity? How does that affect the relationship between the Godhead? And we just started going, and we've got so many things to cover.
Yeah, it kind of started with a professor I know you really respected from your seminary days, been having a discussion and talking about this. The nature of submission with Jesus and how it relates to the rest of the Trinity.
Right.
And so we kind of wanted to talk about that, but the context of the discussion really doesn't make a lot of sense unless you have an understanding of the Trinity and why it's important to begin with, too.
Right. So we're hitting Trinity tonight.
Yeah. So as we were planning this out, it kind of just, we started working backwards to, well, we also should probably talk about the different heresies. Yep. Well, we should also probably talk about some of the Bible verses.
Right.
Well, we should also probably just define the Trinity and actually explain what the Trinity is, too. So,
right.
We will have at least one podcast about the Trinity.
Maybe two or maybe nine.
Yes.
There's enough stuff for nine.
Yep. And so it would kind of bleed over into, when you're talking about the Trinity, you can also get into the human along with the God nature of Jesus,
and that'll
be and that'll be perfect for Christmas. So
that's great. So just a Christmas
little,
coming up,
little teaser of the our Christmas extravaganza you've got to look forward to.
You don't want to miss it. So just stick with us. It's going to be good.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to talk at the Trinity. You're going to be fed kind of with a fire hose tonight. We're just going to be talking again. This is what we talk about at lunch. Like, this is kind of what makes up our lunch discussions, and we want to share that stuff with you. So let's start off with what is a heresy? And I know that might sound simple, but unfortunately, in this day and age, with the climate of everything that's going on, those who are pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, they're falling in heresy categories, or Democrat, Republican, whatever it is. Disagreements are not heresies. And that's something that we gotta define. But I want you to define what a heresy is, because today we're gonna address heresies, but also some other stuff that might not constitute as heresy, but that we still see as really important. So I'm gonna hand that over to you. Where would you start when we talk about heresies?
So I would talk, when we're talking about heresies, you wanna think of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say your starting place, your starting level is what we would call orthodox. Orthodox, I can't remember what the specific definition is, but basically it's correct. It's what is true.
What is true, right.
So that's why you have a lot of churches that like to put Orthodox in their name, because they say, yeah, we're the true church.
Right.
You're kind of trying to get people there, trying to get them to assume that just from the get-go.
Right.
So when I'm saying Orthodox, I'm not referring to the Greek Orthodox mm-hmm. church at all.
Right, right.
There's a lot of churches that like to add the name in.
Sure.
What we mean by Orthodox is what is true, what is correct.
Right.
So these are things that we would say you can go to the Bible and show this is what is true, this is what we believe.
Uh-huh.
These are the definitional things of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a second level outside of that. So you can think of it as concentric circles, maybe. So you've got the circle, and the things that are true, we would consider within the circle of orthodox.
Orthodox,
yeah.
Yes.
The next word is heterodox,
right.
And that means different from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is not as serious as a heresy, but we would also say it is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
These are the types of things that we would have differences in denominations, maybe, mm-hmm. and they might even be a little bit more serious than that.
Uh-huh.
Things that historic Christianity might not necessarily agree with, but that we wouldn't say believing would necessarily put you outside the Christian faith.
Sure.
Or cost you your salvation.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
The next layer out is going to be what we would call a heresy. So a heresy is worse than a heterodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
A heresy is something that is wrong in so serious a way that you could not be considered a brother for believing it,
mm-hmm.
Basically.
Sure. Clearly against what Scripture says, undoubtedly.
Yes. A serious... error,
mm-hmm.
and you could even split it up. You'll sometimes hear the phrase a damnable heresy.
Mm-hmm.
A damnable heresy is something that you believe that will end up in you going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're classifying things, that's a classification system we're going to be using for truth,
mm-hmm.
With orthodoxy being true, heterodoxy being, it's not really right, but we'll talk with you. You're still mm-hmm. within the bonds of brotherhood here. Heresy being no, and damnable heresies being no, we cannot consider these. This puts you outside of the Christian faith if mm-hmm. you were believing this.
Mm-hmm.
And heresy is a word that gets thrown around really
right.
casually.
It does, yeah.
I would caution all of our listeners, you want to be very careful about what you are labeling a heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you disagree with something does not make it a heresy.
Right.
You are, when you're saying something is heresy, you are bringing God into it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're using God's name.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to treat that with a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm.
If you are using this incorrectly, if you are calling somebody who is truly would be a brother in Christ a heretic, it's not how we should be treating our Christian brothers and sisters.
Right.
And you're going to feel pretty silly when you get to heaven and they're there with you.
A
lot of heavenly egg on the face.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, thanks for the explanations. So we're going to address some heresies in just a second.
Yeah, I think we're starting with the definition of the Trinity first.
Right.
I think
yes. So let's... How would you define the Trinity? Because that's where we're focusing our time here. So someone comes up... Hey, Dr. Irvin, what is the Trinity? What do you got for me?
Yes, so I would say basically this is how I would define it. And if you were here for my sermon, I think it was like, oh Lord, was that a couple months ago?
Goodness. Yes, it was very good.
It's been a while.
So the look it up on Facebook page,
yes,
it's there.
Yes, the definition that I use is the Trinity is the term that refers to the one being of God, which includes the three co-equal, co-eternal persons of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's the Trinity.
Yeah,
and we acknowledge that Trinity is not actually used in the Bible, the word Trinity.
Right.
But it's what has been brought up to describe this magnificence of three in one. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and so even though the word specifically isn't used in the Bible, it is a descriptive term of the nature of God that is found in verses throughout both the Old and the New Testament.
Absolutely. Very clearly.
Yes.
I just you don't even got to leave Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image. I mean, we don't got to go far.
Yeah, you've already got a plural
You've got a plural there. So so that's the Trinity. Why does that matter? Why are we so adamant of a true view of the Trinity?
And this has been something of a, I guess you maybe call it a passion project for of mine lately, is trying to get people to realize how important the Trinity is and why it's important.
Right.
I talked about this in my sermon. They do a, there's two different groups, Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research, which is, it's kind of a joint Presbyterian Southern Baptist venture. They do what's called the State of Theology, and they ask people questions about the Christian faith, not just people. So they're asking Christians questions about theology and seeing how much they know about their faith and the Christian faith and what they believe. And the numbers on the Trinity were just abysmal. I believe it was something like 80% of Christians that are practicing were willing to affirm heresy.
So they ask questions specifically about the Trinity.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so things that we would consider heresy, so far outside the bounds that we could not consider them part of the Christian faith, people would read them and go, oh yeah, yeah, that sounds right.
Incredible.
And, yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that 80% of people that are Christians are not actually Christians.
Right. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't think they understood what they were saying there.
Sure. And if we would have cleared it up, I'm assuming, oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they come back around.
Yeah. So that that's one of the reasons is that it's so important is because this is a definitional doctrine of the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. This is something that separates Christians from every other religion. This is something
Absolutely.
Very unique to Christianity.
It is very unique.
We would say this is who God is.
Right.
And more importantly, we would say that it's who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, hey, I don't need to worry about the Trinity. All I need is Jesus. Uh-huh. Well, you don't know who Jesus is if you don't know what the Trinity is.
Sure, yeah.
Because
yeah.
the Trinity is Jesus.
Right. The Trinity is God. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think that's proof for the God inspiration of the Bible. This isn't a man-made concept, this unique person of God, three in one. You know, this is all from, you know, the mouth of God through Scripture. It's just absolutely incredible. So a high view of Trinity matters significantly.
Absolutely. I would also say it's very important because, sorry for everyone that was there for my sermon, I'm kind of rehashing some of this.
It's a good reminder.
The different persons of the Trinity take on different jobs in the redemption of God's people.
Sure, yeah, and they do, absolutely.
And being able to recognize that, that's what the gospel is. Why is God saving people? Mm-hmm. How is he doing it? Mm-hmm. You have to, I'll say understand the Trinity. We can't understand the Trinity. This is a high mystery that we're only given little hints of, I would say.
Right.
But you have to at least understand what the Trinity is not. And you have to understand what the Bible is at least saying about the Trinity. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to answer questions like, well, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God just say, your sins are forgiven? Mm-hmm. And I would say that the answer to that is Trinitarian in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on all of that. And we know that theology is the study of God, you know, and
yes.
we have the Word of God, and he has, in Scripture, he has revealed parts of these things to him. As Christians, we need to know those. I mean,
yeah.
he revealed those for us to know those things.
Yeah, well, and think about this. So imagine, if I were to get on here and say, you know, I really love my wife, but I don't really know much about her. I don't really care about what she likes or uh-huh. where she came from, or I don't know her middle name or what her maiden name was, but I really love her.
Sure.
You would probably justifiably call into question the veracity of my love in that
Right,
case.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I would say that same goes for God.
Yeah.
If you say, you know, I really love God, but I don't really want to read about him or know about him.
I don't need the theology.
I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to love him. It's like, well, that's how you love God.
Yeah.
If you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. Got to know what the commandments are to be able to do
sure.
that.
Absolutely. And you're missing out. I mean, like,
yeah.
you're just missing out. Like, if all his things are valid, but if you need just a, I don't know, down to earth reason, you're missing out. There's so much beauty in knowing about God. And
yeah.
There are definitely mysteries and things that some of the things we're talking about today, you have to leave up to the mystery and knowledge of God. And
we
just don't have the answers to everything, as you'll see. But
yeah.
We have to be we have to handle what he has revealed to us with care and learn it, you know. And so that's what we're trying to share with you guys. So Trinity matters.
Yes, absolutely.
From the beginning of time, I look at the beginning of church history, you mm-hmm. know, the apostles and the apostolic fathers. The Trinity has been something that has been an issue.
Yeah, this is one of the first things the church was doing.
Right, I mean, and we're talking not long after Christ ascended, you get all these things going.
Yeah,
you know?
And, pretty immediately. And I think part of that has to do with the Gnostics that they were dealing with.
Yeah. Which would have been huge during Christ's time and all that.
Yeah, the Gnostics were a grave, grave threat to the church and orthodoxy.
Right thinking
about what the Bible says and who God is.
Sure.
And that's why this was so important to the early church. These were the things that people had to define first.
Mm-hmm.
Who is God? Who is Jesus? Was Jesus fully God, fully man? Was he a man that got adopted and then became God later?
Mm-hmm.
Was he God and never really had a body, but just appeared to have a body?
Mm-hmm.
Those types of things were the things that the early church was really having to fight against.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, a lot of the issues that we consider the big issues of our day, really the church didn't get to those issues until hundreds and maybe even thousands, mm-hmm. not multiple thousands, you know, maybe 1,000 years mm-hmm. later. But the nature of God and the nature of Jesus, those were the big first ones that they started with.
And I want to talk about some of those heresies here for a minute. And I have to think that probably most of these men had probably good intentions to start with. It's their, maybe not all of them, but some their attempt to try to explain things that led them to claim things that are not true.
Yeah.
So, especially with the nature of God. So, Trinity, can you give me some heresies? Let's talk about modalism, partialism, and then we'll talk about Arianism and tritheism as well. So,
yes.
Let's go from the top here.
Yeah.
Trinity, modalism, it's heresy. What is it saying?
Yeah, and this is, and the reason these heresies are so important, I think, is because I think this is where you start. The Trinity is very confusing. Some of the smartest men who have ever lived have written entire books on this and still get their conclusion is, ooh, this is a big mystery.
Yeah.
I think it's very helpful to start by being able to say what the Trinity is not.
Yeah, that's great.
So if you're going to, you can fly in an airplane and you might not understand exactly how aerodynamics works,
mm-hmm.
how this is this airplane is flying through the air. But if someone says, oh, this airplane is held up by magic flying gremlins, you can go, that's not true.
It's not true?
That's not how that works.
I always thought that was the way it worked.
Well, you're a heretic. An airplane heretic.
An airplane heretic. The whole world. Oh, sorry. Yes. I'm getting off track. Yes, but you're exactly right. What the Trinity is not.
Yeah, so that's a good place to start, is being able to recognize when somebody is saying something wrong about the Trinity and why it's wrong.
Right.
Because being able to say what it's not helps you better understand who God is.
Sure.
So the first one I like to start off with is tritheism.
Start there.
I think that one's, it's the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to understand. Tritheism is the belief in three different gods.
Right.
So that you would be a polytheist if you're a tritheist, because mm-hmm. you believe there's three separate gods.
Mm-hmm.
So in the definition, we would say that God is one being with three persons.
Totally cool.
Tritheism would be if each person was its own separate being.
Right. So you've got God the Father.
Yeah.
One. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three separate beings,
things. Yep. We would say they're separate from each other. They have their own different wills, their own different bodies, different, you might say it different ways like that, but they are not one person or one being. They are three different beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that this is important to talk about is if you're going to do any evangelism, especially with Orthodox Jews or Muslims.
Uh-huh.
This is what they think we believe.
Right.
This is directly addressed in the Quran, that you shouldn't say that there are three different gods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so you should be ready to explain why, no, we don't believe in three different gods. We believe in one God. With three persons.
Absolutely.
And that person and being are different. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's a good place to start. You're not going to find a lot of people that are going to fall for this heresy. Most people recognize that we believe in one God, but understanding that this is what it's going to look like to some other monotheistic religions.
Right.
And knowing that this is going to be an issue to them is an important place to start, I think. That's
a great one for evangelism of different religions.
Yes.
Definitely, yes. Great. All right, so tritheism. What do you want to do next?
So I would say probably next, I like to go by easiest to say, oh yeah, that's not true, and get into the ones where sometimes people are like, oh, I guess I kind of believe that.
Right. Or this sounds decent. Sounds,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And this is, I started looking into this probably about a year ago. Mm-hmm. So don't think I'm Mr. High and Mighty, like, oh yeah, I've always known this, and I'm sharing it with you peons. As I started reading this, I did a lot of, ooh, yeah, that's I thought that was how you said that. So the next one is Arianism.
Arianism
is where I would go next. And this comes from a priest Arius. I think it was about 300?
300 something, yeah.
AD,
I think. Yep. Mid-300, I think. Yep.
Yeah. And so basically what he's saying is that the Son and the Spirit were created by the Father.
Right.
They come from the Father, mm-hmm. But that they weren't all eternal. They didn't all exist forever together. Mm-hmm. We'll contrast this a little bit later on with eternal submission, mm-hmm. because I would say that they're a little bit different. But Arians would not say that Jesus is equal to the Father. Mm-hmm. So I like to say, any metaphor you're going to use for the Trinity is going to be wrong in some way. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that you never want to use a metaphor to say this is what the Trinity is like. Mm-hmm. I think the best way to use the metaphor is to say this. If you use this metaphor, it's not true because of this. A metaphor that an Arian would use would be to say you've got the sun, like the star, mm-hmm. Not Jesus, the sun, the star, mm-hmm. Out in space. And that sun is giving off light and it's giving off heat. Mm-hmm. And that the Father is the sun and he's sending off light, mm-hmm. which would be Christ, and heat, which would be the Spirit.
Sure.
That he's making them.
Uh-huh.
Whereas we would say that they have all existed eternally, mm-hmm. Together in perfect union.
Right. And that was a huge heresy. And coming out of him trying to rectify how Christ could be fully God and fully human.
Yes.
Trying to answer that question, which is one we don't know. I mean, we can just come out and say we don't understand how God or Christ was,
yeah,
in the incarnation fully human and fully God.
Yeah,
it's a mystery.
We can talk about it,
sure.
and describe it, but
right.
Some of these things with God, they're so far out of our wheelhouse and, mm-hmm. And our experience with God being so unique. There's nothing like God. He is alone in his glory in all of creation and the universe.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing you can compare to him to say God is like this thing, because that's always going to come up short.
Sure, right. And kind of as we're going here, as we're addressing these heresies, we don't want to just say they're wrong. We want to offer you guys some scripture to and encourage that. So when we're talking about Arianism and perhaps Christ being a created being, there are many passages that we can go to. John chapter 1, right? In the beginning, yeah. Was the Word, and the Word
was with God, and the Word was God.
The Word was God, the Word, yeah. Being Christ.
Yes.
So in the beginning, so not talking about beginning of creation, since the beginning of, I can't even explain. I can't say beginning of
eternity.
Time. It's always
been in eternity past.
In eternity past, yes. Right? Blows my mind. It is very clear here, in John 1, that Jesus, as the Word, Jesus is clearly God. It has,
yes.
Always been.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the best ones to go to is Philippians 2, 5 through 11.
Great verses.
Yes. Have this. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, mm-hmm. by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Mm-hmm. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Yes. Jesus is God.
Yep. And we'll come back to that. But put a note in your Bibles for Philippians 2, 5 through 11.
5 through 11.
Because we're going to go back to that again. Mm-hmm. But it starts off by saying Jesus did not count his equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to.
He gave it up.
Yeah, he gave it up to become. It talks about him emptying himself. Mm-hmm. And we would say this is a description of him becoming the God-man, becoming fully God and fully man.
Sure. And you can't lay down what you're not. You can't lay down what you don't have. He laid down his godness out, you know, in this redemptive plan. He laid it down only to pick it up again. I'm only God can do that, but.
Yes, and I think we want to be careful here. So we're not saying that when he was on earth that he wasn't God.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely no.
You got to be real careful when you're talking about stuff like this, because it's real easy to end up in heresy. Because I don't think, we say like some of the attributes of God that he did not possess, but that gets tricky because
it's
then you get into divine simplicity. So
right.
So if you
divine
all you heresy hunters out there, be forgiving of me as I'm talking about this. So Jesus as the Son when Jesus incarnate.
Yes.
After he's born. He has a human body. We would not say that he is omnipresent, mm-hmm. the way that the Trinity is. Mm-hmm. The God the Father is, the Spirit is.
He was in one place at one time in his physical body.
Yes. There was, he wasn't omniscient during the incarnation as well. It talks about things that Jesus didn't necessarily know at that point in time. There were probably time Jesus didn't start off as a baby knowing how to walk and do long division and mm-hmm. Talk and those types of things.
He wasn't. If he's talking right after birth, that's kind of creepy. Yeah. Right, talking baby.
Yeah. In utero. Wouldn't that be weird? Babies
could, talk in utero. Where did that come from?
Yeah, wouldn't that have been exciting if Scout was talking to you before? He's like, hey, Dad, I'm just about ready.
No, that would creep me out. I'd be like, don't do that. Don't do that, Scout.
Well, especially because babies are usually awake at night when you're trying to sleep. So
it is true. And even out of the womb, they're awake at night while you're trying to sleep.
So
I get what you're... absolutely. And there's still a mystery there with how all of that works. I do believe Jesus, and I don't have the verses here, references that when the Holy Spirit comes, something greater is coming. And I do believe part of that is where Christ incarnate is localized to one place. The Holy Spirit's going to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
You know, and so, but still fully God.
Yes.
And fully human.
Yes.
My mind's blown.
Yes. And we would not say that, Jesus himself was less. And I know this is going to sound a little like we're contradicting ourselves here. Mm-hmm. He did empty himself. There were limitations and parts of his godness that were not utilized during the incarnation.
Sure.
But he was not less God.
Right.
Jesus didn't get rid of his godness to become human. He was fully God, and he added humanity to mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
To become the God-man, we would say, fully God and fully man.
I think you using the word utilized is good, meaning that it's still there.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize we were gonna talk about this one specifically. I would have planned out my language better. So,
the point that we're trying to make is Arianism, going back, denied the deity of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Heresy.
Yes.
Full out.
Heresy.
Heresy. I mean, we can.
Yeah. So that is a heresy. If you are going to say that Jesus Christ is not divine, mm-hmm. you are outside the bounds of the Christian religion.
Absolutely. Yes. And included in that being the incarnation.
Yes.
You know, that's heresy. All right.
Yes.
For sake of time, let's keep going.
Yes.
We're on the Trinity.
Yes.
Where are you going next?
Yep. So now we're getting into the ones that are a little more common with people.
Right. Right.
So this one's called partialism.
Partialism.
And it's
the egg.
This is the one I was trying to avoid when I was just talking just now. Is where you're talking about where God is the persons are different parts of mm-hmm. God.
Right. Right.
So a metaphor. If you've ever used the egg,
Good old egg.
An egg is yolk. What's the white part called?
I just call it white part.
Yolk, white part, and shell.
Wait, is there a name? Are we blanking
yes,
here?
Yes, there's a name.
Dude, we're talking about deep theological terms, and we don't know what the white part of the egg is called. yolk.
Yeah.
White part. That's what we're going with.
All I can think of is albumin, but I think that. I don't think that's it.
Yellow part, white part, yeah. Hard part.
Yes. So these are three different parts that make up a full egg.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Or the one I liked was like if you're a Power Rangers fan, the Megazord, the different dinosaurs come together to make the giant robot.
Yeah.
Right. So this is, these people say, these are all, the Father, the Son, and Spirit are all parts of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we would say this is not correct because we would say that each person of the Trinity is fully God.
Sure.
By themselves. They're not lacking anything in their godness. And this, it's tricky and difficult.
Sure. Yeah. Jesus says, and you might know the reference, I and the Father are one. Not
yes.
parts.
Oh, it's in John.
John, okay. Well, but I'm just saying there's scripture that clearly shows that
yes.
The Trinity is not parts put together.
Yeah.
It is God.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right. It's not a part. It's all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And people have, I think parents have good intentions with the egg. I get that. But you just have to be careful.
Yeah. This is not to shame anybody that has been using this because I've.
Or the water.
Water, water. Well, so we're going to get to water. Okay. That's not partialism.
That's modalism.
That's modalism.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yes. a lot of people use these, and this is not to shame you for doing that. It's to give you a better understanding. And like I said, you don't even need to quit using your metaphors.
Sure. Yeah.
You just say, this is something that people have talked about. Mm-hmm. This is why it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still use that to illustrate who God is by saying why God is not like that.
Sure.
I think that's a much better way to use the metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to make sure that you're not getting into these heresies this way.
Sure. Right.
And then the last one we would talk about, and the partialism, I guess, before we go on from that. So another example that I use for this, and I think this is important, if you're, if we have William Lane Craig fans, I think William Lane Craig
he's an apologist.
Yes. A very famous apologist,
very
too.
Famous, yep.
A lot of people really helps them think through God a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's recently come out, and the example he used when he's talking about the Trinity is he said that Jesus was like, the way that a cat has a skeleton but isn't a skeleton. And that's partialism. Saying that, a cat has skin, muscles, and a skeleton, and that all of those together make up a cat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, even very, very smart, intelligent, well-meaning Christian people can still end up in that. So the cat skeleton is another example of a metaphor and why you need to be on the lookout for that.
And I think partialism would be high up there on people making the mistake of trying to describe the Trinity that way.
Yeah.
Even well-meaning people who believe the true view of the Trinity, it's just easy to get into partialism pretty quick.
Yeah, and part of that has to do with just our language, too.
Yeah. Exactly.
We don't have good language to describe something as unique as God.
Right.
And so it makes sense to us and in our language to talk about parts. So you just remember and be on the lookout for that.
Absolutely.
And then the last one is modalism.
Modalism.
And so this is where God is in different modes.
Yes.
And so they would say that the Father, Son, and Spirit are all the same person.
Right.
But it's just different modes. So you think about, if you like Ant-Man from the Avengers. So Ant-Man starts off on regular size. He can either shrink or he can become giant.
Sure.
And so your modalist thinks God's like that, where giant Ant-Man is the Father, human-sized Ant-Man is the Son, and ant-sized Ant-Man that can go and whisper in your ear is the Spirit.
Right, right. Yeah. I've always, a good example I was given at seminary was three hard hats. And each hat representing a mode. So God picked up the Father hat. This is what he's going to be acting as. Or I'm in the Son hat. So he takes the Son hat and puts it on. He's the Son. He's in different modes.
Yeah, I've heard this described before as you are a pastor, father, and husband.
Yeah, right, right.
Those are three different modes that you sure. react in.
And definitely not being a father mode here. I mean, this would be more of a pastor
yes, yes.
mode here. So, but yes, that's exactly right. The water example that I jumped the gun on.
Water.
A good example
of that. Water is ice, liquid, or steam. Mm-hmm. That's modalism,
yeah.
Because the water is in different modes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we would say that's wrong because the persons are distinct. Mm-hmm. And you can see that as they talk about their different jobs in salvation throughout the
right,
Bible.
Right, yeah.
Into John 6, Hebrews 9, mm-hmm. those are places I like to go for that.
Judges 13 was another one.
Yeah.
Samson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Got it on our cheat board up there.
Yeah. If you go,
we have a cheat board.
Yes. I'm looking very intently into you. Tyler's a very good looking man, guys. Very distracting. So Judges 13, the story of Samson. It's a good story. If you read through it, you will see the three different persons of the Trinity and the different things they do for Samson. And so one of the tricky things is that when you're talking about God the Father, sometimes they just use the Lord or Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say God, sometimes that is used to mean the Father specifically, and sometimes it is used to mean collectively the three persons.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we would consider when it talks about the angel of the Lord, that is a pre-incarnate Jesus. You'll see that in different places. The story of Samson. We would say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace,
mm-hmm.
Someone that looks like a son of man being there. We would say that that's likely a pre-incarnate Jesus.
Likely.
Not
sure we can be completely dogmatic. I might even know, if I was honest, I don't know if I'm kind of in the air on what the angel of the Lord is. But yes, I see.
Sure. I would be...
You lean more to...
Yeah, pretty... I'm not going to kick anyone out of the church.
Thanks, man.
I would hesitate to even call it heterodox to say, but mm-hmm. I think you can make a pretty strong case that the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate God the Son.
It's incredible. What would that look like? That's incredible. I don't know what that looked like. So, we could spend another 10 years on that.
Yeah,
sorry, rabbit trail.
So, yes.
Okay, going back.
But it talks about the angel of the Lord and then also the spirit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of the Lord, we would say, this is the Holy Spirit here working
sure.
here.
Yeah.
And so you can see these three different persons doing three different jobs in the mm-hmm. story of Samson.
Right, and at the same time, which. Is against modalism. I like Matthew 3, the baptism.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite. You've got Jesus the Son being baptized. At the same time, you've got God the Holy Spirit descending on a dove. You've got God the Father saying, this is my Son, well pleased. No modes there. That is the
right.
Trinity working together at the same time.
Yeah, and Genesis 19:24, another good verse that I really like when you're talking about the Trinity, because it says, so in your Bible, depending on which translation you're using, it might say either the Lord or Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Bibles will not put the Yahweh's the divine name, and your Orthodox Jews get a little touchy about that getting used.
Right.
So sometimes they will put the Lord instead. So Genesis 19:24, the Lord or Yahweh rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord Yahweh out of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these two different persons. One is on the earth calling down fire from this Yahweh is on earth. Calling down fire from Yahweh in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one divine name that was given to the Hebrew people in the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
Mm-hmm.
That's in
Deuteronomy.
Yeah, Yahweh is one, but here it is being talking about these two different persons, one on earth calling fire down from the one on heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, we were talking about this before, I don't think... Can you really take this to bank? I don't know. I think that this is the Son calling down fire from the Father.
Legitimate view, absolutely.
Yes,
yes.
Because we would when you or a little bit earlier, these are the same. It talks about that the angel of the Lord, along with two other angels, came and talked with Abraham
mm-hmm.
right before this, and then these the two angels are the one that came to visit Lot in Sodom.
Right.
And so I think there's a good argument to be made that this is the first Yahweh there is talking about the Son, and then the second is talking about the Father.
Sure. Yep. And so clearly modalism is out as a Orthodox view of the Trinity.
Absolutely.
It's gone. So, but again, well-meaning Christians can easily fall into these things. So it's a good thing to talk about them.
Yeah, and don't let this scare you. You're not going to get struck by lightning because you describe God as an egg. What you should do is, we as Christians are redeemed by and adopted by our Father.
Yeah, we
want to love our Father and we want to represent Him well.
Absolutely.
That is a continuing process. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to our one on sanctification.
Oh yeah, right.
This is going to be part of the process of sanctification. Is it continuing is. To learn God's word better and be able to speak about Him and love Him better and more deeply. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to make some mistakes along the way. Dive into the Word, dive into the Bible, and discussion with your with your pastors and mm-hmm. good godly friends that you trust, and good other good teachers and books and things.
Right, and you and I make mistakes all the time. Like
I've been known to occasionally.
I make mistakes quite a bit.
Yes.
Note, I'm very thankful for you on our lunches and being able to, like I said, we said before, there's things we don't agree on, but I'd like to think we build each other up towards Christ and we're learning together, and those are good things.
Yes, absolutely.
Find yourself someone like that. That's just a great thing.
Yes. So I was going to say that I hadn't made any mistakes, but we actually had to restart this podcast
because
I goofed up my jokes. So
we're like for our listeners, we were probably just a minute and a half in and he was giving his joke and he messed up so bad it was not really redeemable, so we had to re-record the podcast.
Yep, and I realized it halfway through and pulled a foghorn or no porky pig.
You were stuttering pretty bad.
So
it was kind of like, this is redeemable. Okay, let's restart.
So I'm going to have to go erase it has been this many days since Brad made a mistake. We're back to zero now.
Yeah, but this is just, we know it's deep stuff, and there's a lot of things still left up to the mystery of God, but what He has revealed to us, we need to be good stewards with.
Yeah. So I know you wanted to talk about the submission. So that was originally where this started.
This was the original word that we were going to do.
Yes, so we were going to talk about submission when it comes to the second person, the Son,
right.
To the Father.
Right.
This is something that's talked about among Christian circles, and there's an argument. I don't think there's any argument that Jesus in His incarnate person on earth when he's walking the shores of Galilee mm-hmm. and Sermon on the Mount, at this time period, mm-hmm. he's in submission to the Father. There's too many verses for you to argue that.
And that doesn't attack His deity at all.
No. That's his job and his purpose in the salvation of His people.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the God-man, you go to Hebrews and it'll talk about this as part of Him becoming human, and so He can be our perfect prophet, priest, and king, mm-hmm. and a perfect mediator between God and man, because He is the God-man.
Right.
But where we get into this argument is when we are talking about an eternity past or eternity future, before He was incarnate, before He took on human form, and you always get tangled up when you're using time to talk about God, the timeless one. So how do you even comprehend this?
Mm-hmm.
But before He took on human form, was Jesus eternally in submission to the Father?
Mm-hmm.
Did the Father always have a position of authority mm-hmm. over Jesus? And does He always have a position of authority into eternity future as well? And I think that's a much more difficult thing to say.
And we can list off many scriptures of submission on earth. I'm just going to read a couple of these here. Just references, you guys can write them down. And then, but John 14:31, Jesus said, "But I do as the Father has commanded me." I mean, He's doing that. John 10:17-18, "The reason the Father loves me, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." Acts 1:6-7, Acts 4:27-28. There's a lot of verses that we can say that even though He's fully God, He was in submission to God the Father and his redemptive will. We can look in the garden, right? A beautiful scene there. Not my will, but yours be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Jump into John 6. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Sure, right.
Obviously, just too many verses to say that when he's here, he's in submission to the Father.
And again, sometimes this has been thrown out as, when we talk about submission at all, Arianism. That's why we talked about Arianism at the beginning.
Right.
Oh, you're saying Jesus was in submission, so you're saying he's not God. No, fully God, but within redemptive history, within the story of his life on earth, he was in submission to that will.
Yes. And I think it's important to make a definition, or to make a delineation. When we're talking about Arianism, Arianism is a heresy. You cannot say Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is God.
And we stand by that 100%.
Always will be, and he's lacking nothing in his godness.
Right, right, right.
What is the nature of his godness, of these relationships between the persons in eternity past and eternity future?
Sure.
I think that it's wrong to say that Jesus... I think it's wrong to say that the Son is eternally in submission to the Father.
I just don't see that.
And only that. I think that there would be mutual submission and love and glorification between the persons in other aspects than the salvation of God's people. I think that one is what we in the Bible get the most information about. And that needs to be a whole other podcast. I can do a couple hours on that one probably.
Right.
We're not given as much information about the persons of the Trinity and their personalities and their and how they function outside. That's where we get the most is within salvation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when God was floating over the formless void, what were the persons of the Trinity like? How did they interact with each other? And I is that even the right way to say it?
Sure.
That I just don't know. But if you're going to ask, is the Son eternally in submission to the Father? This is where I said, mark this in your Bibles, guys. We're going back to it. I think that Philippians 2, 5 through 11. So it says, Jesus was in the form of God, did not count equality with God, that he was equal with God the Father, to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So if Jesus is eternally a servant, I think that this verse wouldn't make a sense. He wouldn't take the form of a servant. He would already be a servant.
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and so this is, he wouldn't be equal, the equality with God there at the beginning that it talks about for a pre-incarnate son. And so that's the verse I would say, I don't think it's correct to say that he is eternally in submission.
Right. We do have a challenge for our listeners.
Yes.
If you guys can find verses in the Bible that point to that, we'd be happy to hear those from you.
Yeah, so this is your challenge, listeners. What we were reading for somebody who was trying to defend this idea that Jesus is, that the Son is eternally in submission to the Father, every example we could find that he used was talking about Jesus when he was incarnate.
Right.
Incarnate
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. See if you can find something that talks about Jesus being eternally in submission to the Father outside of the purposes of redemption.
Yep. And this isn't a taunt. This is a legitimate asking. If you guys can find it, we want to know it.
Yeah.
Because we want to know about those things.
like professional wrestling. Yeah. We're calling you out, listeners.
calling you out. Legitimately, we want to know because we think about these things too. The view that the Father has eternal authority and the Son has eternal submission is called Eras, E-R-A-S.
I think it's an acronym, isn't it?
Eternal rule.
Rule and submission.
Eternal and submission. E-R-A-S.
Okay.
Eternal rule and submission. So, it is adopted by some really brilliant theologians. Past, present, and future, know, that are coming. So great minds do hold this view of but man, our standard is not theologians, is it? Our standard is scripture. We just haven't found that yet.
Yeah, and I would really caution our listeners, if you get all of your theology from one person.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point.
I think that's a little dangerous.
It is real dangerous. Yeah,
There are some people that I agree with almost everything on, mm-hmm. But there is normally one or two doozies. I have not met a single person that I think is completely 100%.
Sure.
100% solid in their theology.
Yeah, and I think another point, if you're following somebody who claims they're 100% solid in their theology, you got to ditch that too. There's no way.
Yes.
So, yes, that's a good point.
Yeah, if they're claiming that, I bet they messed up their joke before they started their podcast, and they're just trying to hide it from you. So.
That's all right, man. And you didn't have to tell them about that joke, man. I was gonna let that go.
I know, but they probably think that I'm so great and awesome. That,
right.
I want to let them know that I
the great Dr. Irvin.
Yep, I put my pants on the same way as everyone else.
Backwards.
Putting them between two chairs and then jumping off the bed and landing
right.
in them.
Right. That's what everybody does.
Exactly.
Oh man, so the Trinity, it's just such deep stuff. And another, as we're looking at the question that we're asking is not, is Jesus God? It's just, how did this relationship work? You know,
Jesus is God.
Right, and how does this work?
And the Spirit is God. What is the relationship between the persons?
And we're never gonna know for sure this side of heaven, what that looks like. Another great one is Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
Right, so, what happened between the triune God there when he's crying out, Father, why have you forsaken me? What in the world happened in this time?
And I think this was one of the first questions that you asked me when we first started doing lunches.
Okay, so a year ago.
This has been on your mind for a while, I think,
and
too.
Way before that, too.
Yeah.
It keeps me up at night.
And so take us back. So tell us what you're talking about and what you kind of thought and where you're at now.
So, you have Jesus, he's on the cross. So there is another heresy. I don't know if you're familiar with patripassionism? Patri-something. It's a long word. I'll let them know next time. But okay. It basically, there's no Trinity. God the Father suffered with God the Son on the cross, like at the same time. So God the Father suffered the same thing, which we know that's not true. So,
right.
But what we have here is we've got... God the Son on the cross, he's bearing the weight of sin, he's being crucified, and he screams out, Father, why have you forsaken me? What happened in that moment? Did God the Father turn his face away from God the Son? Did he abandon him on the cross? And Jesus is asking, what in the world is going on? For a long time, I held on to the view that God did turn his face. And my intentions were to have a high view of God's holiness and a high view of the depravity of sin. That's what I was trying to hold on to. But I'm not so certain that's an accurate description of what happened between God the Father and God the Son during this time. And so I've since then, I don't know, softened a little bit on what that would be. I don't know if I still have an answer. I'd love to hear what you think. One of the things we talked about, it was definitely an emotional cry from his suffering.
And we forgot to write down, maybe you did. I didn't write down the verse. So Jesus isn't just flying off the cuff with this.
Quoting scripture in Psalms.
This is a psalm that he is quoting.
You talk, I'm going to look up.
Okay,
perfect. Just keep going, man. Keep going.
So that's one thing is that Jesus is quoting scripture here. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the Trinity, I do not think that there can be disunity between the persons of the Trinity. God mm-hmm. is one being.
So they can't be separated.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't think that Jesus was separated from the Father. Mm-hmm. And I would say, really, I think it's probably the opposite from what you're saying. I don't think the Father turned his face away. Mm-hmm. I think the Father paid a special hyper attention mm-hmm. to Jesus at this point and is pouring out the wrath for sin, and Jesus is just drinking that cup. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing that any human being can even come close to comprehending of what that had to be like. You think of everything you have ever done wrong in your life. Mm-hmm. Think of everything, the very worst, horrible things that you can imagine. Who's that serial killer that was it Ted Bundy that supposedly has converted Christianity in jail?
There's I don't one, know.
It's a
but
famous
I'm glad
serial
he did.
Killer. Yes, but you think about all the horrible mm-hmm. things that he has done, mm-hmm. and that's all put on Jesus.
Oh, man.
That is put into this cup, and God's hatred of this evil is being poured out into Jesus in this instant.
If that doesn't make you just If that doesn't move you, you know, I mean, it's just, goodness.
And so, I, you know, this is going to be a word picture more than a theological treaty here, but mm-hmm. I think that if you have the Father, Son, and Spirit all, think of them as all holding hands. Mm-hmm. I think that at this time, the Father is still holding the Son's hand mm-hmm. With one hand as he's on the cross, and he's making him drink the cup of the wrath.
That's pretty good, man.
With the other.
That's good. Psalm 22:1.
Yeah.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my word to my groaning? So he's quoting Psalm 22 there. And, you know, there was something, I'm trying to phrase my words carefully here too, but there was something new that Christ experienced on the cross, a novel experience of not just sin, but the sin of the world. I mean, he is sinless. He never carried the weight. This is a novel thing for him, you know? I mean, I'm not taking away from his, you know, deity. It's just sin's not something he was familiar with.
Well, not only that, but think about the person you're closest with in your life. Mm-hmm. So your mother, your father, your spouse, your children. Uh-huh. Doesn't even come close to comparing to the relationship between the Son and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect
right.
love, perfect right. Perfect unity.
Yes, absolutely.
And in this instant, the Son is getting the full wrath of the Father coming to him.
Right.
I can't imagine. I just can't come up with the words. So you think about, you know, your husband, your wife, the person you love the most, and just having them absolutely furious and disgusted with you at that point. Mm-hmm. And it won't even come close still to what Jesus was feeling from the Father at this right. point, I think.
And I know you did. God was not disgusted with God the Son.
No.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
In that instant, as the sin is being put into the person of Jesus mm-hmm. and being crucified on that cross, it's kind of the opposite of the way this is how the Father should have been looking at us, I think.
That should be us, right, yeah. Absolutely.
And that this is we've talked about that, this your dirty rags of sin that are put onto Jesus, and mm-hmm. Jesus gives us his blood-washed linens that we will wear in heaven. Mm-hmm. So when God looks on us, while he was seeing our sin, when he was pouring out his wrath on Jesus on the cross, mm-hmm. So that when we step into eternity with the Godhead, mm-hmm. The Father will look at us and he'll see nothing but the righteousness of Jesus.
Oh my goodness, I mean, that just...
I'm gonna get a little emotional talking about
it
here.
Getting the chills here. This is free for all who come to him. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible that God did that. And you know, if it says in the Bible that our good works are filthy rags, so if our good works are filthy rags, think about how disgusting the sin.
I mean, all the very worst evil and things. Yeah,
it's just
So that's how what I would describe. As happening there, and I don't think there can be disunity between the persons of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus and the Father are one. I don't think it's something that can be separated.
Right, and we sing in church "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Uh-huh.
Real beautiful song. There is a line in there that says, "The Father turns his face away." We still choose to sing it in church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful song, but again, you have to be careful there.
Yeah.
So
and how you decide like which songs you're gonna sing in church and stuff like that. That's a whole discussion too. So you're trying to tempt me with different paths to go down here. We're already
let's stick with
an hour in. So
we'll stick with this podcast.
Yes.
Those can come on another day. So we've got enough stuff here, guys, for the next 15 years. So. stick with us through all this podcast series, right?
Yeah, so this is the word of God, the bread that you'll never hunger, and I pictured you as Scar from The Lion King there. Stick with us, and you'll never go hungry again!
Right? That's kind of what we're saying.
Yeah.
But anyways, the Trinity, so you can kind of see how we started with the word submission.
Yeah.
But we just couldn't stop there. We needed to go more. We realized that we did not explain everything perfectly. We realized that we didn't answer everything, and you might still have questions. We want to know those things. Listen to the podcast. Give us your questions. You can do that on the podcast. We post this on Facebook and share it on our Facebook page, ways to get to the podcast, and you can listen to it and ask any questions, and we'll address them.
Yeah.
So
We want this to be useful to our listeners.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And if there are certain things that would be especially helpful to you, let us know and we'll try to work them in.
Yeah, yeah, that's very good. Trinity, it's an incredible thing.
Yeah.
Just beyond our comprehension. I would not worship a God I could fully understand. That's one of the reasons I worship him, is he is far beyond my comprehension. So this is good stuff. Anything else that we need to...
I think
our chest.
Yeah, that was everything on the list. Other verses, John 1, John 6. We talked about Genesis 1:1. Multiple.
And there's so many more. We only touched on some of them.
John 16, 13 mm-hmm. through 15 is a good place to go for the Spirit.
The Spirit is a he.
Yes.
Stop calling it an it.
That was, yep.
We have to put that in here.
So
bear with us. We're about done.
Yeah, before we end.
But this Holy Spirit's a he, not an it. Go ahead.
Yes. And I highlighted my verses. Oh, here they are.
Okay.
So you go to Acts 10, 9-20 and Acts 13, 2.
Okay.
You have the Spirit speaking to Barnabas and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit, I've heard it before, the Spirit described as a force.
Mm-hmm.
A manifestation of the love.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit's a person.
Yes.
Spirit is God.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is one of the persons of God, but is also fully God, the same way the Son and the Father are. We don't hear as much about the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think that this is because the majority of what we hear about the persons of the Trinity are in relation to the salvation of God's people, and the Spirit takes a very submissive role in this.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is in the background. The Father is glorified by the Son, and the Son is glorified by the Father. The Spirit is working in the background and kind of helping.
And no less in its deity or godness, but
you're right. Yep. He's not any less, but he takes a different job and has different purposes in how they are redeeming the people.
Absolutely.
The same way the Father wasn't crucified with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
And Jesus wasn't coming to the disciples on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Gonna say, Holy Spirit made a pretty good entrance in Acts 2, didn't he?
Yeah.
that, boom! Here. and Peter preaches one of the greatest sermons ever.
Yeah.
Under that, so... Okay, man, this is great stuff.
Yeah, so literally his sermon was fire.
Dude, yes.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Thank you.
They can't see this, but I just gave you a fist bump. That's good.
There.
Literally fire. Yes. That's absolutely true. All right. I think we're going to wrap up today. It's a little longer, but necessary. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
And so, again, we want this to help you guys. If you have questions, send them our way. We'll address them. But we really, our goal with these podcasts is we want you to get off of this with a deeper appreciation for the scriptures, a deeper affection for God, and a desire to know more about Him.
Yeah,
it's our heart.
And if you don't send us questions, we'll just keep talking about what we want to talk
about.
So
if you got,
yeah, we've been meeting pretty regularly for lunch now for about a year, and we're not slowing down. So no,
we're just getting started, man.
Yeah,
we've got a list of a lot of words that we still have yet to address.
Yeah.
So, all right, man. Well, it's been good. Thank you as always. 2 weeks, we'll have another one out.
Yep.
Now that kind of life's back to a little bit of normal.
Yes.
It's time to get it going. So we'll get another one out in 2 weeks. Again, we'll answer any questions that you guys have. Any prayer request, anything you need us praying for, let us know. We want to know about those things, and we will certainly pray for you about it. God is good. We love you guys, and we're going to sign off. So Tyler signing off.
Brad signing off too. Tune in next time for the exciting continuation
of whatever it is.
Yes.
TBD.
Yes, because we haven't decided what's produced next year.
We haven't. Okay. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about what the plans are, but what specifically one for the
Yeah, and it depends on your comments too. You know, might change our plans.
True.
So okay, we're really getting off the time. Good seeing you guys. We love you. God bless you. On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make Him known. Blessings.